الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention, to grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of judgment. Brothers in Islam, I welcome all of you to the class, for the newcomers and for the oldcomers. All of you are welcome alike. And inshallah, for those of you coming here for the first time, this book deals with the names and attributes of Allah. You know that, alaykum salam, Islam, the point of distinction between Islam and every other religion is our conception of the creator of the heavens and the earth. Other religions tend to claim that he is either manifested in some creation of his, or he is divided into three, or he is simply one of his creation, or something along these lines. The only religion on earth which propagates the correct belief pertaining to our Lord as taught by Adam moving all the way to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is Islam. But still, within Islam and the Muslims, many people, upon embracing Islam and having some background of other religions, they brought with them some of their philosophical understandings of what they perceive God to be into Islam. And this is where some issues arose, and then the scholars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah had to deal with that and lay down some foundations in order for the people to refer to them whenever someone deviates concerning Allah's names and attributes. And this is exactly what this book deals with. We've dealt with many names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and tonight inshallah we'll be dealing with ayatu sifat al-ghadab wal-sakhat wal-karahiyah wal-bughd. Those of you who are coming here for the first time, you missed the ayat dealing with mercy and love. Allah decreed that you come on the ayat dealing with anger, dissatisfaction, dislike and hatred. But don't let that, you know, prevent you from coming again, because we will go back to dealing with the things that we are seeking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Allah's love and mercy, and we don't want Allah's anger and Allah's dissatisfaction or Allah's hatred towards us. الشرح ذكر المؤلف رحمه الله في هذه الصفات خمس آيات. الآية الأولى قوله ومن يقتل مؤمنا متعمدا فجزاؤه جهنم خالدا فيها وغضب الله عليه ولعنه. Surah An-Nisa, verse 93. First and foremost, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he mentioned five verses in the Quran dealing with these four qualities that we mentioned earlier. The first one is Surah An-Nisa, whoever kills a believer intentionally, his recompense is hell to abide therein, and the wrath and curse of Allah are upon him. Dangerous. The hellfire, the anger of Allah, and the curse of Allah. For those who kill, who? Muslims, believers, intentionally. Tell this to those who go to the Muslim countries today and kill other Muslims whom they have declared to be disbelievers on their own misunderstanding of the deen. And then they kill them thinking that their blood is lawful. What their situation will be on the Day of Judgment with Allah unless they repent, and then this is a whole other discussion dealing with the repentance of such an individual. So then this is not something to be taken lightly. The Shaykh will elaborate. من شرطية ومن الشرطية تفيد العموم. من here ومن يقتل مؤمنا. It is conditional. It's a conditional clause or conjunction. Whenever it is in this fashion, it indicates encompassment. It encompasses everything. It's general, right? Everything is included in that. Mu'minan. Who is the mu'min?
Believer.
Yeah. Who can define a believer?
Believer on the righteous path.
Huh?
Believer on the righteous path.
But how can we define a believer? Like if a Hindu comes to you and you tell him you're not a believer, right? He will say, why? What is a believer? How can I be a believer?
So, believe in the
oneness of Allah. Good. And anything else?
Prophet
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yeah, well, generally speaking, as the brother mentioned, to believe in the oneness of Allah and in the message of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. To go into more details, the six pillars of Iman. To believe in Allah, the angels, you know, the books, the messengers, the last day, and preordainment. These are the six pillars. But initially, what the brothers Allah Khair mentioned. So the Shaykh said, "Who man amana billahi wa rasulih, فَقَرَجَ بِهِ الْكَافِرُ وَالْمُنَافِقُ. So whoever believes in Allah and His Messenger. So discluded from that, or excluded from that, is the disbeliever and the hypocrite. So if those are to be killed, the ruling is not the same. Because here the ayah says, whoever kills a believer. So killing a disbeliever is not okay, but it doesn't have the same ruling. Killing a hypocrite, similarly. Now we'll see the context, how that goes. لكن من قتل كافرا له عهد أو ذمة أو أمان فهو آثم لكن لا يستحق الوعيد المذكور في الآية. Whoever kills a disbeliever who has a covenant with the Muslims, or he's under the protection of the Muslims, or he is under the security of the Muslims, then he is sinful. It's not okay. Unlike other religions which consider killing the other people is fine as long as you don't kill your own people. But he does not get the threat that is mentioned in the ayah, because the ayah says whoever kills a believer. So that specified killing the believer and it excluded the other two. وَأَمَّا الْمُنَافِقُ فَهُوَ مَعْصُومُ الدَّمْ ظَاهِرًا مَا لَمْ يُعْلِنْ بِنِفَاقِهِ. As for the hypocrite, then his blood is also unlawful. You cannot kill a hypocrite unless he declares his hypocrisy, unless he exposes himself by saying, I really don't believe, I'm just claiming to be a believer. Otherwise, the hypocrites, they lived along and throughout the time with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew they were hypocrites. Allah informed him about them, that these people have nothing to do with Islam, but he alayhi wasallam treated them according to what was apparent, right? That's the ruling in Islam. Because you cannot come and tell someone you're not a believer. But you cannot tell that, because you don't know what he holds in his heart. So you treat them according to what is apparent, unless they expose themselves. طيب. وقوله متعمدا يدل على إخراج الصغير وغير العاقل. The ayah says متعمدا intentionally. So excluded from that is the young boy, or the person who's not sane. Because the young boy usually does not have that kind of intent. Maybe he, you know, he's playing with a gun, or he doesn't know what he's doing, he may shoot someone. That ruling doesn't apply to him, because intentionally is not applicable to him. Similarly, the crazy person, a person who may be insane, that is also excluded from that. So that deals with the person who knows what he's doing. لِأَنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ قَصْدٌ مُعْتَبَرٌ وَلَعَمْ. These people have no intention that is to be taken into consideration or any intent. وَعَلَى إِخْرَاجِ الْمُخْطِئِ وَقَدْ سَبَقَ بَيَانُهُ فِي الْآيَةِ الَّتِي قَبْلَهَا. And also the one who does it by air, where a Muslim is killed. You may be driving a car and some Muslim runs in front of you and you run him over, you know. So that is an error. That's not intentionally now. Then the ruling was mentioned in the ayah before. You may refer to that, ayah 92 of Surah An-Nisa. فَالَّذِي يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا جَزَاءُ هَذَا الْجَزَاءُ الْعَظِيمُ. So then whoever kills a believer intentionally, then he will have this reward, and we mentioned before the word reward, both in the English language and in the Arabic language, does not necessarily mean good. That's why we said it is not okay to say Jazakallah, Jazakallah. You must say Jazakallahu khairan, because you may say Jazakallahu sharran, may Allah reward you with evil. And we mentioned the evidence for that. We have ayat from the Quran that Jazauhu Jahannam. Jaza'uhu, his reward is Jahannam, right? So it's used both ways. And in the hadith sahih, the dead person in the grave, his bad deeds will appear to him in the form of a man, and he will say, who are you? Your appearance is foul, and you look like bad news. And so he tells him eventually, Jazakallahu sharran. Listen to the wording, Jazakallahu sharran, may Allah reward you with evil. So when you say Jazakallah, you're leaving something missing there. And so you may be making dua against your brother. So make sure you add the khayra at the end in order to mean, may Allah reward you with goodness. Na'am. So tayyib. So this is the reward. Jahannam wal'iyadu billah. Jahannam ismun min asma'in nar. Jahannam is one of the names, is the name of the names of the hellfire. Of course we know there are a number of al-hutama and al-sa'ir. And you know, there may be around 7 or 8 that were mentioned in the Quran, perhaps more. All of them are different names for Jahannam. Some of the scholars said that they indicate the different levels. You know, the level is also relevant to the name. Wa alaykum salam ahlan. Allahu alam how authentic that is. I have no confirmed knowledge regarding this. Khalidan fiha ay makithan fiha. Abiding therein meaning for a long time. And we will deal with that. The Shaykh will deal with that, how to make a distinction between the permanent abode and the long-term abode. And there's a difference in the language when using the word خالدين فيها, whether this is applicable to all until the end of time, or time doesn't end really, permanently, forever or otherwise. We will deal with that. Don't trouble yourself yet. وغضب الله عليه. الغضب صفة ثابتة لله تعالى على الوجه اللائق به وهي من صفاته الفعلية. وغضب الله عليه, and Allah's wrath is upon him. The Shaykh rahimahullah said, the wrath of Allah is an attribute that is confirmed to Allah in a manner which befits His majesty, not the anger or the wrath that the son of Adam has, okay, which may make him act foolishly. Because usually when you're mad, you do terrible things, sir. You do the wrong things. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes angry, it is not the anger that you understand in the human context. It is something befitting the majesty of Allah. But that quality is confirmed, no one can deny it. وَهِيَ مِنْ صِفَاتِ الْفِعْلِيَّةِ. Let's see who could break it down. We said that the attributes of Allah are divided into two main categories, and then each one has two subcategories. Who will be gentle enough to enlighten the brothers who are here for the first time about that kind of breakdown? You could refer to the notebook. Sifat al-Dhatiya, which is what in English?
Sifat
al-Fi'liya. Now, after he gave you the key, want to go through the door, huh?
Person.
We want your key. Sifat al-Dhatiya?
Person. Yeah, it's divided into two. Yeah.
Which is what? Personal attributes.
Personal attributes.
Hey. And it's divided into two, which are?
Khabariya.
Khabariya.
And Ma'naviya.
Ma'naviya.
Ma'naviya,
we said abstract.
Abstract.
Like Allah's knowledge, Allah's life, Allah's omnipotence, ability to do all things. These are abstract qualities. And we said Al-Fi'liya.
Al-Fi'liya
or Khabariya?
No, Fi'liya.
Fi'liya.
Fi'liya also divided into two. One is,
but you didn't give us the other one. Hold on, we gave some example of the abstract.
Abstract.
Ma'nawiyya and khabariyya, which is informative, we said, right?
Okay.
And that's such as Allah's face, Azza wa Jal, and hands, and things that befit Allah's majesty. Nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing like Him, Azza wa Jal. طيب. Then the other one, akhi, ay wa sifatul?
Al-fi'liyya.
Al-fi'liyya
divided into
which is?
One is ghairi.
السبب غير معلوم.
سبب غير معلوم. سبب.
وسبب معلوم.
إيه.
يعني unknown reason and a known reason. Can you give us an example of each?
Unknown reason is ascendancy, coming to the last heaven.
Descending. Descending to the lowest heaven. Right? Yeah.
Definitely غير معلوم.
غير معلوم. Yeah. Unknown reason. Allah سبحانه وتعالى did that. We don't know. معلوم.
If you do good, Allah pleased with
that. Aywa, something that is conditional to our action. MashaAllah. Good. I'm very happy. You make me happy now. Zakallahu khairan. So everybody gets that to some extent. For those of you who forgot them, that was a good reminder for all of us, inshallah. Tayyib. So then, this is from the fi'liya. Is it ma'loom or sabab? Ma sabab or ma'loom or ghair ma'loom?
Ma'loom.
Ma'loom?
Ma'loom.
No, no, no. Not how the anger is.
Yeah.
But the reason for the anger, ma'loom. Whoever kills a believer intentionally, that's what will happen. So we know the reason. Hey, otherwise, hey. جيد. ولعنه اللعن هو الطرد والإبعاد عن رحمة الله. And this is a musiba. And Allah will curse him. And many people don't know what curse means. And you should know the definition of la'na. La'na, according to the ulama, is being expelled and kept away or deprived of the mercy of Allah. Being expelled from the mercy of Allah, alaykum salam. Expelled from the mercy of Allah, deprived of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that means that the person is in great, great danger. And it is worth noting in this context that the things that the male does that is supposed to be done by the woman will bring about the la'na of Allah. A man resembling a woman, or a woman resembling a man. And without going into the details, we know pertaining to our appearance what should be relevant for the woman and what should be relevant for the man. So once we play with these two here and we move over from the side of the men onto the side of the woman, regardless of what aspect we're doing that, through what means, then we are falling into the la'na of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The la'na of Allah means no mercy. You will be deprived of the mercy. With no mercy, no one can enter Jannah. Right or wrong? The Prophet ﷺ told his companions, none of you will enter Jannah by or via his deeds. They said, not even you, O Messenger of Allah. He said, not even myself, unless Allah encompasses me with his mercy. So the Prophet's entrance to Jannah, along with his righteous deeds, everything we're doing, everything the Muslims have done and everything the Muslims will do, will be on his book of deeds. Because he taught us everything. Still, with all of these deeds, his deeds, alayhi salatu salam, his qiyam, his siyam, his salah, and everybody else in the Muslim ummah is on his book of deeds. We know this from the hadith. من دل على خير من دع الناس إلى الهدى فله مثل أجر من تبعه إلى آخر الحديث. Whoever calls people to goodness will have a reward equal to theirs, without their reward diminishing the least bit. So he has his reward and the reward of the whole Muslim ummah. And he told his companions, I will not enter Jannah with my deeds unless Allah encompasses me with his mercy. So then what do we say about me and you? Right? This is how much we need the mercy of Allah. If you had that many deeds, and without the mercy of Allah, you cannot enter Jannah. So then you need the mercy of Allah. La'na will deprive you of the mercy of Allah. Meaning la'na is not to be taken lightly. And la'na a person will deserve la'na through many ways. Not only killing a Muslim intentionally, in this context is that. It's a man resembling a woman. In the case of the woman, plucking their eyebrows, wearing some wig, extra hair, even for the brothers, filing their teeth, making separation between teeth, getting a tattoo. All these, mentioned the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and the hadith of Sahih Bukhari, and otherwise, these will bring about the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it changes the creation of Allah. So you keep the creation of Allah as it is. So this is just a quick note, inshallah.
It includes also the thing that Rasulullah said, like he made dua for certain people to be cursed. Like when he came down the member, and he said the person who sees his old parents in old age and does not take care of them, or when he hears my name, he doesn't say salam. He cursed them.
He didn't curse them, no.
He said, Ameen, three times, and
the hadith is in the Ramadan, that whoever Ramadan comes in, he does not get his sins forgiven. But the hadith does not deal with la'na. There's another thing, another supplication against him. Prophet said, Ameen, 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 but not la'na. La'na is more serious. Al-Muhim, فهذه أربعة أنواع من العقوبة والخامس وأعد له عذابا عظيما. These are four kinds of punishments, and the fifth one is four. You forgot already, Muhammad. The first one is for hellfire. What else? Anger of Allah. The curse of Allah. No, abiding in Jahannam. Hey, Jahannam, abiding therein. The wrath of Allah and his curse. Four. And there's a fifth one. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. And he has prepared for him a great punishment. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. يعني, this tells you how dangerous it is to kill a Muslim. Yeah. So be careful of ever joining any group that is inciting you to go to some Muslim countries and kill your fellow brothers in Islam. Under the, false perception that, wallah, these are kuffar, or these are with the enemy, or something along these lines. You need really to be very careful with some individuals who have gone to extremes in their lack of understanding of the deen. طيب خمس عقوبات واحدة منها كافية في الردع والزجر لمن كان له قلب. The Shaykh said these are five kinds of punishment. One of them is sufficient to keep you away, to deter anyone who has a heart. One of them is enough for you to stop going into these kind of violations. Just one of them. What about all five? ولكن يشكل على this part actually I will bypass, particularly because it's not really relevant to our subject matter and it may just cause some confusion. So we'll just deal with it inshallah, maybe at some other time. When we finish with the book, we can go back to it inshallah. طيب. What are the ayat, or what are the qualities that we learn from this ayah, Akhwan?
Anger.
Next.
Lana.
Good. Next. You cannot get that one. Huh?
The punishment.
Aywa. The preparation of the punishment. That Allah wa'atadna, and we prepared for him a punishment. That is a sifa.
How? Preparation and also.
Just like la ta'khudhu sinatu wa la nawm. It's not a name. Rahim, it's not a name of Allah.
Yes, yes.
It's a sifa. The fact that Allah does it. We said that the sifa, some of them are action, right? The active. This is an active. Allah preparing Jahannam for the hellfires. Allah prepares Jannah for the believers. It's from the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَفِيهَا مِنَ النَّاحِيَ الْمَسَّكِيَةَ تَحْذِيرُ مِنْ قَتْلِ الْمُؤْمِنِ مُتَعَمِّدًا أَوْ عَمْدًا عَفْوًا. And practical benefit we learn from this ayah is the warning against killing a believer intentionally. So we should be very careful, as I mentioned, from the very groups that propagate this today amongst the Muslims. The second ayah, al-ayatu thaniya, hiya fi surat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verse 28. Surat Muhammad, verse 28. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمُ اتَّبَعُوا مَا أَسْخَطَ اللَّهَ وَكَرِهُوا رِضْوَانَهُ. That is because they followed that which angered Allah and hated that which pleased Him. Okay? I repeat it. That is because they followed that which angered Allah and hated that which pleased Him, meaning pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذلك المشار إليه ما سبق والذي سبقه وقوله تعالى. Now ذلك, that, you may be wondering that, what is that talking about? The Shaykh said that is speaking about the verse that preceded that ayah, which says فكيف إذا توفتهم الملائكة يضربون وجوههم وأدبارهم. So how is it then when the angels will take their souls at death, smiting their faces and their backs? This is speaking about the disbelievers and the evildoers. That which is what was mentioned, that came about because they angered Allah and they were hated that which pleased Him. This is the connection between the verses. يعني فكيف تكون حالهم في تلك اللحظات إذا توفتهم الملائكة يضربون وجوههم وأدبارهم عند الموت. Meaning, how can you imagine? How will it be their condition when the angels are smiting their faces and their backs during the time the agonies of death? والعياذ بالله. ذلك أي ضرب الوجوه والأدبار بأنهم أي بسبب فالفاء السببية. ذلك meaning the smiting or the striking of the faces in the back. بأنهم, because. The bad here is because. اتبعوا ما أسخط الله. They followed that which displeased Allah. They followed that which angered Allah. عفواً. They followed that which angered Allah. أي الذي أسخط الله فصاروا يفعلون كل ما به سخط الله عز وجل من عقيدة أو قول أو فعل. So they started doing everything that brought about the anger of Allah. Be it belief, something that has to do with belief system, the creed, or statement, or action. All three. أَمَّا مَا فِيهِ رِضَ اللَّهِ فَحَالُهُمْ فِيهِ قَوْلُهُ وَكَرِهُ رِضْوَانَهُ. This is as far as them attaining the anger of Allah. As for the things that may bring about the pleasure of Allah, Allah says وَكَرِهُ رِضْوَانَهُ, and they hated what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. أي كرهوا ما فيه رضاه فصارت عاقبتهم تلك العاقبة الوخيمة. So they hated that which Allah is pleased with, so that they had this horrible end or destination. أنهم عند الوفاة تضرب الملائكة وجوههم وأدبارهم. That at the moments of death, the angels will be striking their faces and their backs. وفي هذه الآية من صفات الله. What attributes do we learn from this ayah? Sakhat, dissatisfaction or anger. Aywa, good. And mashallah, rida. Because Allah says wa karihu ridwana. They hated that which is pleasing to Allah. Meaning Allah is pleased, right? We dealt with that earlier already. We dealt with the ayat rida actually before, but that is understood. Because what we do, ikhwan, when we look at the ayah, we want to look at everything. That which directly understood, that which is indirectly understood. That which may be understood as an opposite. يعني, we want to have a broad look at the ayah. طيب. وسبق الكلام على صفة الرضا. We've already spoken. We've discussed before the quality of Allah being pleased with. We said, right? وأما السخط فمعناه قريب من معنى الغضب. أي سخط, سخط, which is dissatisfaction. He said it's very close in meaning to anger. Dissatisfaction and anger, they're almost synonymous. You can almost use them interchangeably. طيب, that's done. The third ayah. فلما آسفونا انتقمنا منهم. فلما آسفونا انتقمنا منهم. سورة الزخرف verse 55. So when they angered us, we punished them. So when they angered us, we punished them. آسفونا يعني أغضبونا وأسخطونا. آسفونا meaning they made us dissatisfied, and they made us angry, and they made us dissatisfied. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about Himself. What do we call this kind of plurality? What do we call this kind of plurality? Where Allah says we. Royal. Royal plurality. Versus the plural of numbers. 1, 2, 3, you have a plural. Or royal plural, which is when someone is of high status, they usually speak of themselves in the plural form. Human beings. If this is befitting for the Queen of England to say we, the Queen, then what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth? So this is in the Arabic language known, and in the English language as well. Probably most languages, they do have that. That royal, even in the Hebrew and so forth. So then we know what is intended by that, and we said this is muhkam, or this is mutashabih. Now we're linking the Tuesday class and the Saturday class. Let's see how much you brothers are paying attention in the Tuesday class. You're falling asleep in the masjid, because the masjid is more comfortable than these seats, huh? Huh? Is it an ayah muhkama, which is entirely clear, or mutashabih, ambiguous?
Those who want to divert the meaning.
No, answer me, Muhammad.
Entirely clear.
This is, no? Mutashabih. We. Because you may get some funny guy who says, okay, you are more than one God. Right? You're just like the Christians. Because the Christians say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, you Muslims say we. So maybe the we is speaking about the Father, and we have heard some funny Christians say that. They're trying to be, one of them even dumber than that. He said the Trinity, well, this guy, alhamdulillah, nobody beat him up in the actual debate. He said the Trinity is found in the Quran 114 times. Hey, how? He said every ayah, every surah begins, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. So then the brother told him, listen man, we don't say in the name of Allah and the most merciful and the most gracious. It's a sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How are you going to say this is the same as the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost? So he's very far-fetched evidence. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Not Bismillah wa-Rahman wa-Rahim. Then you're making like three separate entities. But we're speaking about qualities of Allah. Allah the most gracious, the most merciful. So you get funny Christians try to find something in the Quran to use it for their nonsense, but we can always refute them. And in this case we say this is ayah mutashabih. It's ambiguous because some funny guy may interpret it. So how do we return them to the muhkam? What ayah do we take them to show them that there's no
Qul
huwa Allahu ahad. Say it is Allah the one who's unique. That cannot be we. That cannot be interpreted in any other way. So we say that this is muhkam, and the other is mutashabih. And Allah told us that the people with deviance in their hearts, they will always go after the ambiguous, trying to find the evidences for themselves. But there's always something in the Quran which will refute that. And all praise to Allah, you just need to know the evidences. That's all. طيب فلما وهنا شرطية وفلما هنا شرطية فعل شرط فيها آسفون وجوابه انتقمنا منهم. فلما is also a conditional clause, and the conditional clause is like, for example, if you come to my house, we will have pizza. Okay, if you come on time, we'll make it to the dars. And if and what have you. So conditional clauses. In the Arabic language, we have something very similar. When instead of if, when they angered us, we punished them. So it's like conditional. When that happened, that took place as a byproduct or as a consequence. طيب. ففيها رد على من فسروا السقط والغضب بالانتقام. First and foremost, in this ayah, there's a refutation to those who interpret سقط and غضب, dissatisfaction and anger, as revenge. As you have some of the Muslims, they say you cannot say that Allah is dissatisfied. You cannot say that Allah becomes angry. So they say what is intended with these is revenge. That Allah is only taking revenge, not that Allah is angry. Okay, so غضب الله عليه, meaning Allah took revenge from him, not that Allah is angry with them. And these are again interpreting the Quran based on nothing solid or sound. Rather, they are the Ash'ara, the Ash'arites, those who believe or have rejected most of the names and attributes of Allah, with the exception of some. And so anytime an ayah comes to them that they don't understand, they say that this cannot be a quality of Allah. So much so that they denied the mercy of Allah. Imagine, even the mercy of Allah, they said you cannot say Allah is merciful because mercy is weakness, and so you cannot say that Allah is Rahman Rahim. And these people have websites, they have books, they have ulama dalal, scholars of deviance and misguidance, and they are all over the Muslim Ummah, and you find them often outside here and other countries, because there's more freedom in a sense. Here there's some restriction in terms of what kind of knowledge is being propagated among the Muslims, which is alhamdulillah, which is good. Otherwise you'll get a lot of deviance being thrown in, and the people will not be able to make a distinction, especially those who don't have, you cannot make a difference between the correct knowledge and otherwise.
What do they agree? That revenge is not a
sifa? No, it is. But revenge is a whole other... They say everything that deals with anger, dissatisfaction, everything is revenge. So they deny valid qualities and they include them all in one. And that's not... The intiqam is something we will deal with perhaps later, inshallah. لِأَنَّ أَهْلَ التَّعْطِيلِ مِنَ الْأَشْعَرِيَّ وَغَيْرُهُمْ وغيرهم عفوا يقولون إن المراد بالسخط والغضب الانتقام أو إرادة الانتقام. The Shaykh said the people of denial, those who deny the names and attributes of Allah, like the Ash'arites and others, they say what is intended by the dissatisfaction and the anger of Allah is revenge, or not even revenge, or maybe even the intent to take revenge. What is intended is the intent to take revenge, not necessarily revenge in itself. ولا يفسرون السخط والغضب بصفة من صفات الله يتصف بها هو نفسه. And they do not confirm or affirm these attributes of anger and dissatisfaction as something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributed with. They deny that. فيقولون غضبه أي انتقامه أو إرادة انتقامه. So they say Allah's anger means Allah's revenge or Allah's intent to take revenge. فهم إما أن يفسروا الغضب بالمفعول المنفصل عن الله وهو الانتقام أو بالإرادة لأنهم يقرون بها. So they either interpret anger as the object of in this case that is something separate from Allah, which is this revenge. Okay, the revenge they say is separate from Allah. It's not Allah that the revengeful, but it's Allah who takes revenge. So they say this is not from the qualities of Allah. We have no problem accepting revenge. So you see what I'm saying? They do not accept it as an attribute of Allah, but they do accept it as an action of Allah that He will do, which is take revenge. Or that's why they say the intent, because they acknowledge the intent. They do believe that Allah does have an intent. ولا يفسرونه بأنه صفة ثابتة لله على وجه الحقيقة تليق به. And they do not affirm it or interpret it as a quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that befits His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. ونحن نقول لهم, but we say to them, بل السخط والغضب غير الانتقام, dissatisfaction and anger are unlike revenge, they're not the same. والانتقام نتيجة الغضب والسخط, rather revenge is a result of anger and dissatisfaction, that comes later, they're not the same. You may become angry with your son without taking revenge. Right or wrong, when does the revenge take place? After you have become angry. So for you to say that anger equals revenge, even in the worldly life we have, is unacceptable, because they're not one and the same. Is that clear? طيب. وإذا قالوا نعم نعم كما نقول إن الثواب نتيجة الرضا. The same way we say that reward is the result of pleasure. Allah being pleased with you. When Allah is being pleased with you, you will get the reward. فالله سبحانه وتعالى يسقط على هؤلاء القوم ويغضب عليهم ثم ينتقم منهم. Allah سبحانه وتعالى becomes angry with these people, and then he becomes dissatisfied with them, angry with them, and then he takes revenge عز وجل from them. فإن نجيبهم بما وإذا قالوا إن العقل يمنع ثبوت السقط والغضب لله عز وجل. If they say to you, but the mind, you know, does not really accept. The mind rejects that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have the quality of dissatisfaction and anger. ونقول بل فنجيبهم بما سبق في صفة الرضا لأن الباب واحد. So we tell them the same thing we answered them when we dealt with the pleasure of Allah, because it's the same chapter. ونقول بل العقل يدل على السخط والغضب. And we also add, nay, but the mind indicates dissatisfaction and anger. فإن الانتقام من المجرمين وتعذيب الكافرين دليل على السخط والغضب. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking revenge from the criminals and punishing the disbelievers is an indication of Allah's anger and dissatisfaction. وليس دليلا على الرضا. And it is not a sign of Allah being pleased with them. ولا على انتفاء الغضب والسخط. Neither does it indicate that there is no anger or dissatisfaction. Otherwise there would be no such punishment and no such revenge. يعني this is common sense. So to, for them to say that common sense does not support this, rather common sense support that. And the proof for that, all of you agree that revenge comes after you become angry and not the other way around. Subhanallah. ونقول هذه الآية فلما آسفون انتقمنا منهم ترد عليكم. Now we say to them that this ayah refutes you, because Allah says, so when, when they made us angry, we punished them. Subhanallah, Allah told us that that happened after the anger came about. So these people, ajeeb how they understand the deen. لأنه جعل انتقام غير الغضب لأن الشر غير مسروط. Because Allah made the condition, He made the revenge unlike the anger, which is basically, the condition is unlike that which is being conditioned. يعني, if you come to my house, we will go to the class. Are they the same? No. The condition is something, and the result of the condition, the answer of the conditional clause is something else. So when they made us angry, we punished them, they're not the same. So how are they saying that? Only Allah knows. مسألة بقي أن يقال فلما أسفونا نحن نعرف أن الأسف هو الحزن والندم على شيء مضى على النادم لا يستطيع رفعه فهل يوصف الله بالحزن والندم. He says an issue, we have a discussion here, and maybe we wouldn't know it unless you know the Arabic language. It is only fair to say, Allah says, فَلَمَّا أَسَفُونَ. Now, what word do you know that sounds close to أَسَفُونَ? أَسِف. Right? Which is what in English usually?
Sorry.
I'm sorry. أنا أَسِف, I'm sorry. So now the Shaykh said, we know that usually the word أَسِف means sadness or regret over something. Over something that has happened in the past that you cannot remove, you cannot change. خلاص, it's done. That's why you have to say, I'm sorry. فهل يوصف الله بالحزن ولا. Can we describe Allah as being regretful or being sad or being sorry? الجواب لا. The answer is no. ونجيب عن الآية بأن الأسف في اللغة له معنيان. Now this is why it's important. This is why you need to refer to the scholars. Because one of us may not know any other meaning for the word asif except the one we all agree to, which is the fact that I'm sorry. But when you go back to the language, the Arabic language, and you read what the linguistically what it means, you'll find that the word may carry more than one meaning. So the Shaykh said, the word asif has two meanings in the language of the Arabs. المعنى الأول الأسف بمعنى الحزن. The first meaning is the one that we all agreed about, being sorry. مثل قول الله تعالى عن يعقوب يا أسف على يوسف وبيضت عيناه من الحزن. Such as the statement of Allah concerning Jacob when he said, alas, my grief for Joseph, my grief, حزن, أسفا, for Joseph, and he lost his sight because of the sorrow. This is when Yusuf was lost, and then Benjamin was lost also, and Yusuf, Jacob had reached yani, the epitome of his sadness. He became blind to the sadness, and he said, Ya Asafa ala Yusuf, meaning how sorry I am, how big is my grief of Yusuf. That's one meaning. ويطلق الأسف على الغضب, and another meaning is that it is used as a synonym to anger. Asif is synonymous to anger in the Arabic language, not in the English language. In the English language, when you're sorry, it doesn't mean that you're angry. But the word sorry, by the way, has another meaning. In the Westerners, when they, you know, in the word, sometimes they say he's a sorry person, meaning he's a loser. Okay? So even in the English language, the word sorry does not only have the meaning I'm sorry. You say, this is a sorry game, or this is a sorry bunch of guys. Yani, they're a bunch of losers. It's a hopeless. So, you know, in the language, very often, one word will carry more than one meaning. In any language in the world. And the Arabic is known as being more rich than the other languages. So we cannot confine the meaning of the one that me and you know, which is as a being sorry. Also, another meaning is anger. والمعنى الأول ممتنع بالنسبة فيقال أسف عليه يأسف بمعنى غضب عليه. It is said in the language of the Arabs, أسف عليه, meaning he became angry with him. He became angry with him. طيب. So the first meaning, can we attribute to Allah being sorry? No. ممتنع بالنسبة لله عز وجل. It is not attributable to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. والثاني مثبت لله. The other one we affirm to Allah. لأن الله تعالى وصف به نفسه, because Allah described himself in this fashion in the Quran. فقال فلما آسفونا انتقمنا منهم. When they angered us, we punished them. طيب, what are the qualities that we learn from this ayah, brothers? I repeat it. فلما آسفونا انتقمنا منهم. Anger, revenge. Anger and revenge. And they're two separate things. And الناحية المسلكية, التحذير مما يغضب الله تعالى. Practical benefit that we have, be careful of attaining Allah's wrath. And actually, one of us asks Allah not to be angry with him at least 17 times a day. Right or wrong? Where? Fatiha. Ha? غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. مغضوب, same thing. غضب مغضوب. Hey, other than those who have attained your wrath, your anger, and those who are misguided. Ameen. So every day, at least 17 times, if you don't pray any sunnah, I doubt anybody here doesn't pray the sunnah and tahiyyat al-masjid and so on and so forth. At least 17 times a day, you ask Allah to give you a path of other than those whom He displeased with. So then, you know, this is a serious, I mean, it's important for you to live your life without the anger of Allah. Because once, as Allah says, when Allah became angry with them, He punished them. So the revenge is a consequence of Allah's anger. And none of us can afford that. Not in this dunya and not in the hereafter. The revenge of Allah is something that you cannot handle, because you're dealing with the most powerful. So Allah al-musta'an, sallallahu ya'fu anna wa yarhamna bi rahmatih. The fourth ayah, we will deal with inshallah the following week. I want to leave some time so we could discuss some pending issues that we had in the beginning of the dars, because I don't want anybody to leave here with some misconception or incomplete ideas or rulings about Islam. وآخر دعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.